Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Excess of Everything, a show about two girls and their excessive consumption of media. I'm Scarlett Curtis, dog mum is my job this week.
And I'm Grace Campbell, dog godmum. Thank you.
Each week we check in to recap the latest episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and catch up about what else we've been watching, loving, hating, consuming.
Yeah, I don't know. Trolling. I've run out of things to say at this,
okay,
this bit.
Cool. this is very... I just want to say an important PSA, which is Grace sets up the podcast recording link for us. And then I join. And I joined 5 minutes after she put it up. And I logged on to find Grace asleep in a towel on the Zencaster. Fast asleep. I did kind of think you died, or part of me also thought you might have been wanking, which would have been so
God. No, I was actually, but what was so scary is because I have my AirPods in, you were like, Grace? And it was so loud in my ears. So I was like, I'd been like meditating, because I'd been like doing deep breaths, and I was sort of like dozing off, and then you were like, Grace? And I was like, oh my God, fuck, it was terrifying. Oh,
so sweet. How are you, my little Gracie?
I'm good, apart from the fact that, like, I just feel maybe a bit anxious this week. Like, I don't know. I definitely, I'm anxious, but I'm fine, is how I would describe myself.
I mean, that's how I feel every single day, so that's
permanent
great
state, yeah.
I mean, that's both of our permanent state.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. My child, Betty, my little dog, got spayed yesterday, and it was very traumatic. Like, I want to shout out all the dog parents out there, because I mean, she was fine. I obviously freaked out, and it was just really sad. She went in, I took her into the vet, and then she got out, and our other dog got spayed, and she was like completely fine afterwards. But Betty clearly reacted kind of badly to the anesthetic, because she was so not all right. She was so sad. She like couldn't stand up. She was walking with her legs outwards, like couldn't, she forgot to drink water, and then at one point I put some water on the bed next to her, and she drank like honestly a liter because she just had forgotten. And she just every few minutes she'd make this little noise where she'd go,
oh my God,
it was so sad.
I cannot.
So I was quite traumatized, but then today she's fine and she's healing well.
Is she fine today? God, it must be so painful.
Yeah, I don't even think it was the pain. I think she was just so drugged out. Like, when I picked her up, she wasn't even excited to see me. She just, like, collapsed in my arms. It was really sad. I do
She's
not know
so
how people have
well.
Children. Like, I can't. The fact that she was sad, I was, like, so sad. I mean, I don't know how people have children. If you're a parent out there, good on you, but also why?
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. God forbid.
God forbid. anyway,
so
are you going to tell the story of last week or no?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a good scoop. We've got, you'll tell it one day. We've got a funny
story. I'll tell
story
it one day.
That happened. Yeah. That Grace,
I love creating a mystery. It's like with me and Rowan's, the bowling alley. Like, I was famously banned from Rowan's, but I've never, ever told anyone why. So people ask me all the time, why are you banned from Rowan's? And I'm like, you're never going to find out. So that's what this new story will be.
Yeah.
It would just be like every week you should say, are you going to tell the story? And then I'll say, no.
get it trending. Are you going to drop the news?
Yeah,
it's like when it's like when YouTubers are like, guys, I've been working on something really exciting. I can't tell you that, but it's coming soon.
And then it's like a YouTube video.
Yeah, sometimes I do that on my Instagram, and I've got nothing in the works. I just, you know, want
to
build up.
Yeah, it's quite fun to say. Oh my god, that's so fun. I'm like, I might start doing that.
I'm working on a secret project. I'm working on a secret project, and it will come soon.
It's all under an embargo, but I will talk about it next week. And then next week comes, and people are like, this is the thing as well, because like when people do that I follow, if they'll be like, I'm working on something, I get both jealous, because I'm like, even though I don't know what it is, I'm jealous and competitive about it. But then also I'm like, it's probably not that great.
Oh, it's never that great, because when you're working on actually great projects, you just don't talk about them till you talk about them.
You just drop them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. Always, you know, like a new collaboration with Pretty Little Thing or something. Although that is the dream of life.
it really is the dream. Pretty Little Thing.
So this episode, this week, me and Grace woke up this morning to the terrible news that there was no new episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So after we've had our little intro chat, we are going to do a deep dive on Love Island. So if you're one of the people that listens to this podcast who doesn't watch Real Housewives but does watch Love Island, this is the episode for you.
Yeah, it's gotten so juicy this week. I just feel we have so much to talk about.
We really do. Is there any more
I wish all of Love Island was Kasra Moore. Like, I know that's physically impossible, but like, it just gets so juicy when they go to Kasra Moore.
No, because Love Island is like life, and you have to wade through the boring bits to get the exciting bits. And I get really annoyed with people.
I'm so not like you.
I get really annoyed with people like one Grace Campbell, who's like, I'm just going to start watching it when it gets exciting. And I'm like, you haven't earned the fucking exciting, okay? You didn't watch them sitting around that fire pit talking about shit all for 6 weeks. That's how you earn Kasra Moore.
No, I didn't. I've skipped loads, but this week I've been so on it. Because you know what, Scarlett? I love drama.
Okay, well, should we just head right in then? Because there is a lot of drama.
Yeah.
I'm really upset, I have to say. I, just to preface this, because I do think it's important, and like, on this show, we do talk about manipulative reality TV, and we love it, and there is, you know, huge optimism and drama and stuff. But when I saw Love Island was coming back this year, with all the shit they've had around, like, suicide and bullying, I did not think they were going to do Kasra Moore. Kasra Moore is so abusive and torturous. It's horrible. And I just, it's torture. It's mental torture. And I think, in a way, it is quite irresponsible. But, you know, whatever, they've done it and I'm loving it.
No, I mean, I get what you mean. I could not hack it at all, especially, I could hack it if I didn't have any feelings for anyone, like, in the villa. But if I was in a situation where I like someone and then they, I mean, you know me, I'm, like, jealous when the boy I'm seeing looks at a fucking door.
No, you'd break in there.
I would break
in.
Yeah, I'd have a complete psychotic breakdown. No, I agree. It is, and also, like, you know, the one where they were doing the game where, like, the girls were clocking, like, who will have just kissed someone.
It's so manipulative. And, like, and then even, I mean, I just always believe too much in these shows, but even, like, yesterday I was like, okay, they're at least not going to do the fucking postcard. Like, they it just annoys me. They've been saying that they're going to do better, and, like, they knew what was going to happen. They did it at, they positioned Kasra Moore at the exact time when they knew it was going to fuck the most shit up. Like, they did Kasra Moore right as these girls had just gotten close. And then also they bring in, like, five guys that are lovely and not pushing, and five girls that are, like, pushing. And, you know, those people have clearly, it has made me upset. This is all I'm going to say on this, because now we are going to talk about how fun it is and how interesting it is. But, which I guess is hypocrisy to the max. But it's just, look, if you give it to us, we're going to eat it, but maybe don't give it to us.
So do they do the postcard thing every year?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm so not diehard. I think, like, I agree with you. I think what has really upset me is the Faye and Teddy thing, because that, it feels like, because the boys...
So why didn't you explain what happened?
So the postcard came, and, like, all of, there were pictures of the boys from the original villa doing a various load of things with the new girls. But Teddy's one was the, I thought that was such a misconception because it was a picture of him kissing someone in the challenge. But now Faye thinks that he's cracking on with someone else. And now she's going to chat. Like, I'm really upset about that because he's been so, like, amazing and loyal. Now she's going to chat someone.
He's the one fucking boy that hasn't behaved like
And you know why I'm angry? Is because they're not rewarding him for his behaviour. Like, no. I think that should be something that they should be, like, championing. So they shouldn't be sabotaging him and Faye, you know? It's been amazing to watch him swerve all of these girls who are obviously trying to chirp him because he's so buff. And I just think it's really unfair to do that. Because what if they could have had a great love and it might be ruined now?
I know, and I think he's everything Faye was saying yesterday. I think he's really good for Faye. I think he calms her down and I think he chills her out a bit, and I think he's exactly who she needs. The other thing that I think Kesra Moore is an incredible study in, and why it should be, like, studied by sociologists, is it's a study in groupthink and groups of boys, right? Like, I'm sure not all of these boys are cheaters or manipulative or whatever, but when you get a group of boys together, you get the same thing with girls. It's like group mentality. They're egging each other on, and as a result they're all doing the same thing. And I think that shows even more, like, props to Teddy, because to not only not cheat but also to fight that, like, group mentality is amazing.
It's like 100%, and that's why I feel really angry and, like, really angry at the producers of Love Island for that one part.
Yeah.
Liam.
It was trending. Did you see they got, like, 1,000 Ofcom complaints about it? All the girls on Twitter were complaining to Ofcom about the way they put Teddy on a postcard. And it was just sweet, though, because it was like all these girls were posting screenshots and it was like, mate, like, this isn't on. Like, Faye, Teddy has been loyal AF. Like, Ofcom can sort this out. It's true.
It's true, and it's really sad. But Liam, can we talk about Liam?
Yeah,
I cannot, and I'm finding it actually awful. I mean, Millie is just amazing, and, like, if Millie could just win on her own, that would make me so happy, because she is being so realistic. And, like, there was this bit, like, at one point this week where she was like, of course I don't trust him, I've known him for fucking 5 minutes, and, like, that is the truth. Firstly, stay alert, don't fully trust any man ever, in my opinion. But secondly, definitely don't trust someone when you're on this game show and you've known them. Like, people can lie about who they are, and I really liked that she was like, no, like, it's very possible that he's gonna do something like that. But it's just very odd, because it's like watching the way he was and the fact that, like, I was so sure that they were really genuine. And then I feel that he's just kind of, I can't work out if it's just because he thinks he can do better, but, like, how could he think that? Or he thinks he's not doing anything wrong. I think he genuinely thinks he's not doing anything wrong, to be honest.
I mean, I'm so upset about it. Millie is an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. I'm obsessed with her. She's amazing because she's very open, but she's also protecting herself. And that's, like, all I want to be in life, is, like, able to get vulnerable with people, but also be like, but you know, she's not Faye, but she's also not Liberty. She's not, like, putting everything on the plate. She's amazing. I think what the Liam thing is it's, we should all be wary of quiet men, because I truly thought they were falling in love. Like, my dad loves Love Island for the love side of it. And he hasn't been watching this season. And a week ago, I was like, you need to start watching now, because it's the best bit where, like, we're actually watching these two people fall in love. And, like, I really felt we were watching Liam and Millie fall in love. And ultimately, that is why I love the show, because it's like, you get to see these moments that you never get to see unless it's you. And but the reality is, he was very quiet. Like, he's a quiet man. He seemed like he was just quietly in love with her and quietly obsessed with her. But the reality is, we don't know what he was thinking. And he's gone into this place, and he is, I mean, the look on his face when he's, like, smirking with this girl, and literally, I think you're right.
He's a different person. That's what's bugging me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he's what? Like, a different person, though. Like,
this is my prediction. I think he is going to come back alone and fuck that girl Lily over, but also think that he can get Millie back. And then it's going to be on the boys to tell her that he had this full other relationship, and it's fucked.
Was there any pictures on the postcard of him?
Yeah, there was. There was a picture of them kissing at night, and Millie was like, that's weird. If they were kissing at night, that means it wasn't in a challenge. But They did it. That's also what's fucked. They didn't show Millie. They showed too much of Teddy and they didn't show Millie the extent to which Liam has been.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. And like, that's why it's wild that they've told Faye that Teddy was like fucking around when he isn't. And actually what they should have done, because that's even sadder, like, because I just finished the episode from last night and Millie wasn't being like, yeah, I'm going to go and crack on with other people now. Whereas everyone else was. That's why I was a bit confused.
They didn't really show her what was going on. And I think she actually smugly thinks he's the one not, because I think she thinks it was challenge based. I mean, it's so fucked up. And what that I really hate what they're doing to them. And also, like, can we talk for a second about this idea of lads' holidays? Because I mean, I wasn't in school or uni at the, you know, in the right way. And I never went on a girls trip. I never like really knew people that went on lads trips. But this idea, I think it's a very British idea that, because I never, you know, I was at uni in America and it never happened there. But this idea that a lads trip is a chance to cheat on your girlfriend is
crazy. Yeah, but like some men like see that, like don't see it as cheating when they're on holiday.
I mean, that...
Or, like, and some women, like, give their partners, like, a hall pass for holidays.
But how is that possible? Literally explain it to me.
Well, I think, like, I mean, I could understand the, like, giving someone your consent to do that. Like, if you were going to ask to do that in exchange.
Yeah.
If you're open. I know people who just do it, like, when someone's going away. But, like, not all the time. Or like, you know, I know someone who was having a baby and like before they had the baby, the partner was like, you can go and have like one last hurrah, basically. So I think like I can understand that. I can't understand this like justifying cheating because you're on holiday. Yeah. That's like saying that if you're in the sky on a plane, it's not cheating because you're not on Earth. Like you're still cheating on them.
I think it's horrible. And I think it really makes
But you know what? I will say, and I'm not... Women do it too. Like I know a lot of women that do that. So it's not just men. It is on Love Island because those are the unfortunately those are sort of the types of men and women that get cast on that show. But like in life, women do cheat quite a lot.
Okay, in a way that makes me feel better, just because watching this, if this was your introduction to heterosexual dating, you'd be like, I'm giving up. Like, the last few days I've been like, why do I ever think I'm gonna meet a man that isn't just gonna tell me he loves me and then cheat on me? Like, it's really stark the way that all the girls are loyal and all the boys are not. Like, it kind of blows my mind.
I just 100% it is, but I just think it's not as true to like life as like people think it is. Like, so when I watch that, I'm like, obviously, you know, it's very true to Love Island is like heterosexuality amplified on drugs, on crack. And generally, like in life, especially with like our generation, I think like on a wider scale, you know, it's really interesting. And when I think about cheating, it is something that I have so much anger at men who do that. And then it's so interesting because, like, if a woman does it, I'm always like, oh, well, they probably had, like, a reason to. Like, that was probably justified. It's really interesting the way that I always... And that's, I think, because... And so this is how I can get into the psychology of the way that men will legitimize their friends cheating on their partners. Because when my friends in life have like cheated on someone, I'll be like, okay, what are we gonna do? Like, I'm on their side because they're my friend and I want them to be okay. And that's what men are doing in those situations. Like, they are backing their friends over their friends' partners. So obviously, like, it's not right. And I think when, like, in life, if like one of my friends is gonna cheat on their boyfriend, and this, I'm saying this as though that's what my friends do, it's like not happened loads of times. I will go up to them and be like, what are you doing? This is a really bad idea. And that's what I think more men, like none of them in Catherine Moore have done that. With Liam especially.
No, I completely agree. And I'm even annoyed at Jake. Like, Jake has been behaving really well, but he is definitely egging the other guys on. And I mean, it's crazy, yeah.
I think he's been awful.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he's been good in regards to his relationship with Liberty.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Thank fuck. I mean,
but don't you think that Liberty will actually still be so fucking angry at him because he's let Tyler, like, Liberty was crying in the episode last night.
And no, like, no, I completely agree. You know what was really, I mean, I do think Faye, a lot of people don't like Faye and a lot of people love her, but I do think she has a huge heart, because last night it really seemed like she was crying on behalf of Kaz rather than on herself. She's a lovely girl. But yeah, I mean, just the way Jake's been egging them on and almost getting these kicks.
And like, Hugo, who was Mr. like righteous speech maker last week, he's like standing up for the rights of women and like women shouldn't get fucked over. And then he's literally like, yeah, you should do it. I fucking hated his kiss last night. It made me feel so disgusting.
Hugo is, what a week, because last week I was saying that I hated Hugo. And then, obviously, midweek, Hugo did his great speech, which I still think he was possessed by a ghost. Like, something was going on there. He had not planned to say that. It came from nowhere, and I think he was as shocked as we were. And it was. Look, I'm going to say it was an amazing speech, and I really liked that he stood up for a girl instead of his friend. Obviously, it turned out it was because he was in love with her, and I think that's something that we can all relate to. But the way he's behaving...
Everyone's in love with us, Scarlett, famously.
No, I mean, like, look, he stood up for Chloe, great. But he stood up for Chloe because he fancies the pants off her. And, like...
Because of his feelings,
yeah. Yeah, the more
And then
amazing.
He got rejected.
Yeah, but, like, would he have done that if he didn't fancy her? You should be able to stand up for women and go against your friends, even if you don't fancy the woman. Whatever. Anyway, Hugo's back on my bad list because he is so disgusting in Catherine Moore. I'm sorry, what did he say when he kissed her last night? He was like, I did it, or something. Like, match point. He said something so...
No, he goes, I did it. My Love Island experience has begun.
Yeah.
Love Island experience has begun. It's like...
He said it as they finished kissing. He was like, game point. Wait,
the kiss was so disgusting. It was disgusting.
I know. And also, she was like his fifth choice. I mean, he's... You know what? I think that Hugo's... I was thinking about this last night. I think Hugo's quite an interesting case study because I do think he's sweet, probably, naturally. And I think he's sensitive. And I think he's nice. But when he's in a position with a group of boys who are behaving badly and a group of girls who are not fancying him, it's turned him into a sort of bad guy, right? Like, it's turned him into someone who thinks he deserves... Yeah. Love from women, thinks he's allowed to fuck them over, and thinks, you know... And so it's like... Again, it's about how, bad influence friend groups can be, because I think he's probably nice. I think he's probably sweet. I think he was a good teacher. But I think being around this group of boys and being rejected by this group of girls has turned him into something bad.
Yeah, it's quite sad. Like, when, like, in Castle Moore, when they'll be like, so what's your plan of action today? And he's like, I'm just going to move mad. I'm going to make movements. It's like, no, you're not, bruv. Like, stop lying to yourself.
Okay, he kisses her. He kisses her, he rolls over and says, job done.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That is so cunty. I'm sorry. Like, that makes me then be like, actually, no, I think he just is a cunt. Because, like, it just feels like, I just think he's really desperate. And I think that's so unattractive.
I don't agree. I think he wouldn't have, I think he has been scarred by these boys. Like, he wouldn't have, on the real world, he wouldn't have thought kissing a girl was a job done. But he's been so rejected and so, I think it's just, don't get so influenced by your friends.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I do also think that, like, not, I don't know. I think it's hard because I think he's quite out of place on the show and in that group of friends. And I think probably outside of Love Island, he has, like, a group of friends who are much more like him. So... he wouldn't behave that way. But I just still don't respect it when people are that malleable. Because like you were saying about Teddy, like, Teddy hasn't changed his behaviour because he's, like, around those boys.
It's true,
so
yeah.
So it's not an excuse.
No, I don't think it means I'm forgiving him. I think it's just, like, it's...
No, I get what you're saying. I just think he's a creep and I can't handle him being on my television.
I know. I mean, I also think Toby's a creep. Like, I'm sorry, Toby. We obviously didn't talk about Toby's bad behaviour last week, so it all has happened so quickly, but the way that Toby treated Chloe was horrific. It was not good. It made me really sad. Like, that girl is lovely. I'm obsessed with Chloe because everything she says is so clever, but she says it in a really stupid way. So she's like actually dropping these pearls of wisdom, but she's saying it in the most insane voice.
I was dying when she was like, I just don't like his chains. I just want him to not wear the chains. And then someone was like, that's fine, babe. We can sort that out. Like, we can get him to take off his chains.
But Hugo was right about that. This whole idea of that you need to test a relationship to see if it's real is bullshit. Look, if you're listening to this and anyone's ever said that to you, like, do not believe that, because you don't need to test a relationship.
Yeah, it's like when someone cheats and then they're like, but I did it and it made me realize how much I love you. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't need to go and like fuck someone to know that. I didn't do that.
What was so funny about the whole situation is Toby was trying to gaslight Chloe. Like, he was trying to make it seem like it was her fault for reacting so quickly. But he's just so stupid that the gaslight didn't work. Like,
yeah.
I love that she just didn't let him gaslight her. She was just like, nah, mate, like, you behaved terribly. And I'm never backing down from this.
I really love her. I really love her. And also, like, I love that she's just been living the dream. Like, she's just had the pick of any man.
And she's just had a sick holiday and made loads of friends. Like, I think Chloe is, like, not quite sure what show she's on and just having a great time.
I would really like to try and be her friend afterwards. I know. So
let's she'll be the first guest on our podcast.
Yes, oh my god, let's manifest that.
All the girls, I love all the girls. Like, I love Millie. Same. I love Liberty. I think she's the biggest Liberty. Heart. I love Kaz. Like, I think I really like that Kaz actually showed some, like, Kaz has had to be so strong this whole time. And I think Kaz, some people on Twitter were saying that, like, it was silly that Kaz was crying because it hadn't been that long. But I was like, look, Kaz has been through so much in the last few weeks and she has never cried. She's never said she was sad. She's always moved on. She's always had to be strong. And I think her crying last night was just kind of the whole experience coming out of her eyes.
Yeah, it was really sad.
It was really sad.
I agree, because it wasn't, because they were only couple, they weren't actually together for that long. But I think it's like, you know what it is? It's when in real life, when you have like a terrible run of like dating experiences, and then you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, this is completely different. And you feel really sure of that because it's the only way you can like trust the situation. And then they fuck you over. It's like so much worse than just being fucked over by a fuckboy.
Yeah, and then all the other fuckboys, you know, it's like compounded into this one betrayal because it was the thing you thought was going to be different. Okay, I mean, I think that's most of what we've got to say. I just think, what's something that's annoying me but I'm also liking is, like, I think Ian Sterling's done a really good job with his voiceover this year. I think he's been really funny and, like, I like that he's being very, like, edgy. But the fact that he obviously keeps commenting that, like, Castro Moore is horrible and that the boys are behaving terribly and it's like the really he's been like our voice, but I'm like, mate, you're also part of this show, like, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. Like, this isn't written in law. Like, I don't know, it's annoying me a bit.
I know, where is he saying that? On Twitter?
No, on the voiceover, you know, he's like
on the voiceover.
And he's definitely he's saying lots of bits and bobs on the voiceover that are really bitchy about Castro Moore.
I just think you're like, what you said earlier is the main point. It's like they clearly haven't learned, and it's quite, and also, like, you know, Love Island, like, as a show hasn't really evolved.
No,
I still like do love it, but I really thought by now the people that they get on, the things that happen, I really think it would have evolved a bit more, because like the world has changed better since we all started watching it.
I agree. Like, I really have always loved this show. I've been watching it since the beginning, and I really thought this season they were going to have more diversity in terms of like body type, race, job, like anything. And they haven't learned anything. The mental torture is still happening. Like, they are not learning.
I really can't imagine. I mean, it's funny because I never thought that when I was watching it this week, like, how would I cope in Catherine, like, in the process of doing that? And would you rather be a new girl going into Castle Moore or like a girl being left?
I think I'd feel too guilty going into Castle Moore. Like, I'm not blaming the girls that have come in. Like, they've been given a brief and the boys are going for it.
But it is weird what you said about how like they're proper going for it and the guys aren't.
But they've been picked. Like, they have picked five girls that are bold and they've given them a brief of, like, make these boys cheat. And they've picked five boys that are lovely. And I'm also like, couldn't these five lovely boys have come in at the beginning? Like,
I know.
You know, these boys are clearly nice. Like, you had these boys
waiting. They're so nice.
You had these boys waiting in a quarantine pod. Like, maybe bring them in earlier.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With ACAST, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with ACAST. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Do you think when they're in that quarantine pod, any of them get together?
They don't get to see each other.
Oh, at all? They're on their own?
They're on their own, yeah. I do also think, I do think the boys are particularly intense and mad this year. And I think part of that is because of lockdown. Like, I do think, it's funny, I think it's a huge generalization, but I think in some ways lockdown has made a lot of girls want boyfriends because you're like, I want someone to be with me, you know, all day, and I want someone to have sex with, like, without having to get dressed or whatever. And then I think it's made boys just like have all this pent up, like, sleeping around energy. I don't know if that's even correct, but I think part of
it's definitely made a lot of people want to like find more. It's that thing that they always say on Love Island, what's the phrase,
where could it be better?
Yeah, could it be better? Like, she's great,
I'm happier, but could I be happier? Yeah,
exactly.
Can I just say,
and I think COVID in general has made everyone feel that way.
My grandpa was a refugee from Czechoslovakia. He had like the worst life of all time and then made it. He worked for Unilever. He was a wonderful man. And he had this catchphrase or like life motto that he lived by, which was, you can't be happier than happy. And it's now like our family's motto, which is like, if you're happy, just, you're happy. Like, don't look for something more in work, in friends, in where you're living, in money, in love. Like, you can't be happier than happy. You can't have this idea that there's always something better around the corner. And like, it really is the way that my dad has taught us to live, like, from his dad, of like, just don't. I think all the boys need to learn that. Like, if you're happy, you're happy. Like, there's not something
exactly
better around
but
the corner.
Also, you don't have to be happy all the time. And like, the thing that, like, I think, like, people on, like, especially those guys on Love Island, they're the kind of people that are like, if something isn't perfect, like, I've seen this, like, less so now, but with like people that my friends have been with in the past, where they'll be like, we're arguing. We shouldn't be together if we're arguing.
Yeah.
Like, this has to be perfect. It's like, that's also very unrealistic, because nothing can be like happy-go-lucky all the time. Like, there will always be ups and downs.
Totally. And if you've got something good, you've got something good, and it's not going to be perfect. But don't just always be looking around the corner. Like, it really...
That's why I cannot understand Liam, because I feel he's basically got the perfect girl. Like, she's so cool. She's so lovely. She's funny. She's everything I want to be.
She's everything. She's everything. She's clever. She's got her own little business. Like, I love her.
What does she do?
She runs an online fashion business.
Oh my God,
I love her. She, like, sells clothes. Yeah. That's why she's so stylish. I love
her
so much. Right, well, there's some more reality TV gossip that hit last night, which is that Chrishell from Selling Sunset is dating one of the Oppenheim twins.
So I've had so many messages about it, because I put it on my story this morning.
Me too.
And it's obviously like a PR stunt.
Do you think?
I think.
I don't know.
I do think.
I like Chrishell. Like, Chrishell has had such a hard time.
I like Chrishell as well. I'm just saying, I don't believe it.
Okay, well,
should I tell you the results of my poll? Because like thousands of people have voted.
Okay.
It says 58% believe it, and then 42% said they don't.
Interesting. So, I mean, we're in the middle of a big "Are we being fooled?" moment, because obviously J-Lo and Ben Affleck have seemingly got back together, but I've said this before.
Well, do you not believe that?
Well, no, listen to the theory. I'm a big fan of Busy Phillips's podcast, and the co-host of Busy's podcast is this amazing woman called Casey St. Onge, and I'm completely obsessed with her. She's a producer and a writer, and I've kind of fallen in love with her, and I DM her on Instagram now and tell her
how. Did she reply?
She did reply once. I was so happy. I really love her. Anyway,
oh God, that's so fun.
Months and months ago, when all this Ben and J-Lo stuff started happening, Casey spotted that Ben was wearing a watch that he wore in the Jenny from the Block video, which they filmed 20 years ago. And Casey did the math and she said, wow, it's coming up to the 20th anniversary of the Jenny from the Block video. I wonder if they're reshooting the Jenny from the Block video shot for shot. And that's this. Anyway, this week, all these pictures have come out in the paparazzi that are the exact shot remakes of the Jenny from the Block video that J-Lo and Ben are acting out. And
so like that one of them on the boat, was that in the Jenny from the Block video?
That's in the Jenny from the Block video. It is fascinating. I mean, it's shot for shot. They're clearly doing something. And Casey believes that they have got back together, but they are also reshooting the Jenny from the Block video.
I believe that they have got back together. I think they could just really be taking the piss out of the public a bit, though.
Yeah, well, so one option is they've got back together, but they're reshooting this video. The other option is they're not back together and they're doing like an amazing paparazzi publicity stunt where they're reshooting this video in paparazzi photos. Like, either way, I'm kind of obsessed. Like, I really hope they've got back together. J-Lo posted a slideshow of pictures for her birthday, and the first four were her looking hot in a bikini at 52. And then the last one.
And then it was them like about to fuck.
Literally mid coital.
Yeah, literally.
I really hope they're back together, but I don't know. Anyway, how this ties to
I think they are.
How this ties to Chrishell and Oppenheim thing one is that Chrishell posts a picture of her in Oppenheim thing one, saying Ben and J-Lo inspired or whatever. And because they used also to be together, like, I guess.
Right? Oh, what?
I think so, yeah.
No, Mary used to be with him.
God, good point. Oh,
it wasn't J-Lo, her. She was just with another Jason.
The reference was to the boat.
The boat, I guess. Yeah, the reference was to the boat. But I think it's a joke. I don't think it's real. I think it's like obviously amazing publicity because the season starts like next week or something. Mm. But I also think like they were sitting so far away from each other in the picture. It was like so not hot in any way. Like her lower body was like peeling away from him. Like stop touching me vibes.
Well, it's very funny, whatever they're doing. I like Chrishell. I think she's just trying her best at all times.
Oh my God, 100%. Listen, the girl's been through a lot, so I hope she's happy.
Okay, I also would like to talk a bit about Olympics. Are you down for that?
Of course. I've been loving all of your Tom Daly posts.
Okay, so yeah, we'll start with Tom Daly. This is a secret that I've been keeping from the public for a long time, but I was fully in love with Tom Daly, like, for many, many, many years. I had a huge poster of him on my wall. I watched every single thing he ever did. I would stay up all day to watch all his interviews and dives on the Olympics. Like, I was so in love with him, and I was so sure that we were going to get married. Like, I just thought he was the kindest, nicest, sweetest boy. And when he came out, it was the worst day of my life. Like, I was so happy for him, because all I want is for Tom to be happy and ultimately live his truth. But it was really painful. It was really, really hard for me. And the thing about Tom is he's an excellent diver. He's so good at what he does. He works so hard, but he's never won gold. And last week, after 13 years of trying, he won a gold medal. And fuck, I cried.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long. He's been doing this since he was 14 years old. Now he's a dad, he's married, he's got a baby, and he's also got a knitting account. Tom Daly is a near professional knitter.
It's like, so you? Is he, like, he couldn't be more of your soulmate.
That's what I'm saying. When I was in love with him, I had a knitting blog and was an obsessive knitter. And
did he openly knit then?
He did, and I loved that about him. But now he's come really public with his knitting, and, like, he knits these amazing jumpers. And I think he's actually better at crocheting than he is at knitting, but... We're just so,
sure.
I do feel...
It's quite a niche opinion.
I do feel he is. I do feel we're so similar. Like, he knitted a little case to put his gold medal in, and that's, like, exactly the kind of thing I would do. And I'm so happy for him. Like, I think he can stop now. He has such an amazing life. He's married to this amazing man. They've got a child. Like, he's really killing it on YouTube and Instagram and, like, as a person. So my dream is that Tom can kind of give up diving for a bit, because I think he's got his gold and that was what he wanted. But... I'm just so happy he got his gold. I think he will. Like, I think he has, I think he stayed in it this long because he had never got gold. And he is the best. He's the best. He is so good. Him and his partner, diving partner, are just insane. I mean, that dive that they won with was perfection. And it's also sweet. He's like, makes all these videos with his partner and, like, the diving partner. And they're both just so sweet.
I thought that was so cute.
I'm also
but
just
with
really
diving, like, yeah. is there as much of an age limit as there is with other sports?
Not quite. Because
do you have
it's
to retire as young?
You don't have to retire as young, which is why Tom Daly's still able to do it now. But I, as in, there's not as much thing of, like, he doesn't need to keep up his cardio as much as some other sports. But you do need to stay in incredible shape. Like, the better, it's a lot about core and muscle strength, because you have to be able to, like, you know, keep your body into these movements. And also you have to be able to sync up with your partner. That's the thing that amazes me. Like, when you're in those situations, you must feel like you're one body. Like, they have to be so in sync. If one of their toes is out of sync, they lose. Like,
that's so scary to me.
I know, but I kind of we'll never know what that feels like to have, like, be that in tune with your body and someone else's body. Like, it's really an amazing thing. I'm kind of obsessed with it. But I think Tom wants to give up. Like, he is such a personality. I think he could be, like, such an amazing advocate and commentator and, like, celebrity.
I think he definitely will be. I think probably you just wait until you're out of competing before you really throw yourself.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And also his husband has loads of money and, like, he doesn't need to do it.
Oh, Gel. What does his husband do?
His husband's a 43-year-old film writer called Dustin, I think, and he wrote that film Milk that he won an Oscar for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, about Harvey Milk, and he's just, like, an incredible American scriptwriter.
Oh my god, stop and it. How, like, did they meet?
I don't know, but there's a 20-year age gap, but they do seem very, very compatible and happy.
Oh, that's really
cute. And
they've
got a child.
That's really cute. I want to know how they met. I'm going to Google it. I wonder if, like, they slid in each other's DMs or something like that.
I mean,
like, how would they have crossed?
His husband's also super hot. I mean, they might have been at, like,
oh, yeah, I forget that parties used to exist.
Parties used to happen.
Like, in my head, I'm like, how would you meet someone like that? You must have met on Instagram, because how else would you be in the same place? Because we're all at home.
But I also, I do think he's the most beautiful man in the world. I love him. He, you know, he, I love him.
Does he follow you on Instagram?
No, obviously not.
Oh, that should be our, let's manifest that as well.
I just want to be his friend. Yeah, maybe I will start a knitting group together.
I feel like it could be, like, such a great friendship, and he'll, like, be, like, the godfather to your children, and, like, I'll be the godmom.
But also, this is really big in the knitting community, but what I like about his knitting account is that he gives credit to the people that he's bought patterns from. So, like, there's loads of really amazing knitters that sell patterns. And
what, like the string?
No. A pattern is, like, the guide of how to knit something. So it's,
okay,
like,
okay,
it's its own little language. I'm obsessed with patterns. But he crocheted this little unicorn, and he, like, did a shout out to the woman that sold him the pattern.
Oh,
and, like,
he's such a bae.
He's such a legend. And then let's talk about Simone Biles. I know this has been, like, talked about a lot, but it really moved me that, so Simone Biles, the incredible American gymnast, dropped out of the Olympics due to mental health reasons. And I've actually been getting quite teary reading all the coverage, because it's the thing that you know, I wrote a whole book about bloody mental health advocacy, but I still have a huge amount of shame around how much work I've had to miss throughout my life because of mental health and socializing, and like the amount of times I still pretend that I'm sick when my mental health's bad. And like, it's something that I really hate myself for. Like, I know that's a big thing to say, but like, I say yes to a lot of things and then my mental health often gets in the way and I often have to pull out. And it really has haunted the last few years of my life. And
I mean, I think it's so, because basically as well, like, what is wild is that in sport, everyone is so tolerant of the physical impact that like being in sport has on your body, but no one talks about, you know, Michael Phelps was amazing yesterday because he was just like, nobody talks about it. And she's saying like, I cannot do this. And that's the same as if she broke her leg doing gymnastics, she would not be able to compete. And I just think like I thought it was amazing. Like, the internet was amazing yesterday, apart from that fucking tramp who I'm not even going to say his name on our podcast, but it sounds like piss. Apart from him, I just thought there were so many amazing people just coming out and being like, this is incredible. It was actually an incredible moment, I think, and it will be a huge shift.
She has changed the world in what she did. Like, I truly believe that, because not only has she talked about how mental health is as important as physical health and how you can be ground down, you know, her and Naomi Osaka are changing the world, and especially because the stigma on Black women's mental health is so much worse than any of the stigma we'll ever face. But I'll also say, like, the reason I was crying yesterday is because people are really, we're entering a world where people are really much more forgiving around mental health. Like, it's amazing. But I have had bad reactions when I pulled out of things for mental health. And when that happens to you, it is very scarring. Like, I've had people say,
no, I'm seriously, it's traumatizing.
Yeah. It fucked me up. And I've had people say, couldn't you push through? And I've had people get really angry at me. And I've had friends get really angry at me. And I'm a posh white girl who wrote a fucking book about mental health and is very open that I have chronic depression and PTSD. Like, if I am getting those reactions, can you imagine what Simone Biles is getting and what any Black woman's getting and any woman in sport? Like, it moved me. All these people posting about it, like, I kept crying because I was like, wow. This is something, it's the one thing I still have such huge shame about and have had traumatic experiences with. And it's amazing.
I did the story that we won't talk about, but I said to them, I was doing a gig and I said, I have to have someone with me, which is kind of true. Like, I never do a show unless one of my close friends is there, or like, unless someone is there. I hate doing like a solo show without someone there because my anxiety gets completely out of control. Mm. And the way that they looked at me when I said, oh, I have to have someone, I have to have her to be able to come with me, like, in all areas of this venue because I'll need her for my anxiety. And it feels, I think people are like, they think that like being a comedian and having anxiety is a complete contradiction and that it somehow doesn't make sense or doesn't add up or sounds like an excuse. And it's kind of like with you, it's like, because we're like public and like talk about stuff, I think some people, like fucking idiots, think that we're fabricating this in some way.
Yeah.
Because that reaction that you just described when they're like, oh, can't you just push through? It's like, are you fucking joking? Like, that is insane that you would say that to someone who's got bad mental health.
But also, what you don't realize, maybe if you're the person sending that email, is that it is so hard to stand up for your own mental health. Like, I always think that I'm making it up, right? Like, I always think I'm using it as an excuse. Mental health, the most evil thing about mental health is it convinces you it's not real. Like, I am already dealing with all that shame. I am already thinking I've made it up. And it's taken so much strength for me to say, I can't do this. I'm depressed and can't get out of bed and can't even shower, let alone come to an event, right? And when they say, couldn't you push through? You go, maybe I could push through. Maybe I am being a piece of shit. Maybe I am making up an excuse. Like, they are feeding into people's worst insecurities about themselves. And if someone has had the courage to say to you, like, I'm very lucky that I am able to work for myself and I'm able to not have a 9-to-5. I had a 9-to-5 for a year. And my boss asked me once if I was eating in the wrong sushi restaurants because I had food poisoning every month. You know, I would email him saying, I'm so sorry, I've got food poisoning, I can't come into work. And it wasn't that, it was my depression and I couldn't say that. And like, it's just, I've spent so long lying about this, and when you have the courage to tell the truth and someone turns like is dismissive of it, it really takes you a lot.
Yeah, so I really think, like, because I remember I had this one employer years ago and I was just doing this production job, and I remember saying, by the way, on Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 4 I have therapy, so like I'll have to leave early. And he just said, that's amazing, thanks so much for letting me know. And that was it. And it was like the best. I remember that being like, oh, I can just say it now,
yeah,
because someone has reacted nicely. So if anyone like listening to this has become like such a, but if anyone is listening to this, like if you employ people or if you work with people, like you always just respond with the least amount of like shame, because the way you feel when you feel you're having to pull out of something because of your mental health, it's so shameful, and you feel like such a fucking failure and a loser, and you need someone else to reward you basically for that. And that's why I thought the internet was amazing yesterday, because it was just people really congratulating her.
And also with your friends, but it is hard. Like, I've had a lot of friends pull out of things I really wanted them to be out because of mental health, and it's not like it's easy. Like, I've definitely been upset by it, but accept it. Like, you know, it's, you're their friend for a reason. Like, and if you can't, like, people, it's just, people already feel so much shame. And I think, like, what happened yesterday, like, she's changed the world. Like, I truly believe Simone Biles and Naomi Scott could have changed the world this year.
Right, we're gonna have to end it now because I've got a call in a minute.
Yeah. An eclectic, very fun episode, but
as ever,
thank you guys for listening. Please share it with your friends that think might like it. We love you. Thank you for listening.
Definitely tell any of your like Love Island WhatsApp groups to listen to this episode in particular.
Exactly. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.